I have no idea how to start this.
We need a theme song. That's how it starts, with a theme song.
I think we put the theme song in later once we get a theme song. I don't think we da-da-da-da.
I want a da-da-da-da.
You want a da-da-da-da. I don't think people want to hear us da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. See, it's annoying. Wee-oo.
Wee-oo. Wee-oo. I think that was great.
All right. welcome to the Watchathon of Rassilon.
That's this.
That's the thing we're doing. I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath, probably.
And we are married.
Kind of.
No, we're all the way married.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no kinda. It's all the way there.
Like, legally binding?
Legally binding. I'm pretty sure I own half of your soul. I think that's how it works.
I thought we had an awesome party.
It was an awesome party. Because I was celebrating that I was getting half of your soul.
I hate to tell you, but you're not getting much. Half of nothing, still nothing.
It's not nothing. It's just really tainted. Really tainted.
I mean, fair enough.
So this is about Doctor Who.
Well, why don't you explain
what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be a podcast where we ramble and possibly talk about Doctor Who, but we're going to try and watch every classic Doctor Who episode and do a podcast for every serial, which is a collection of episodes. For those who don't know.
Who's watching this? Who's listening to this that doesn't know?
My mom.
Hi, Jo's mom.
Your mom. No, your mom doesn't.
No, my mom doesn't care.
Yeah, but we're going to try to do, I don't know, bi-weekly, possibly?
We'll see.
We like the word bi. we might have some guests on occasionally.
Probably, because we probably will need to bring someone in. Like, we're too boring.
Yeah, we gotta spice this up. Get some people watching. We want people to watch the podcast.
Oh, the podcast.
Yeah, watch the podcast with their eyes on the internet.
Is this a metaphor for our sex life?
Yes.
Okay, good. As long as we're on the same page.
We're going to talk about an unearthly child. But before we get to that, I think we should tell the people what Doctor Who we've watched.
What our familiarity is with the show.
Yeah, like how much we've watched and what we knew before getting into this daunting task, this daunting project.
It will literally be the rest of our lives.
Yeah, because I plan on murdering you as soon as this is done. Wow. I probably shouldn't put this in a recording, but that's the goal I'm wanting to hit there.
We'll see. I can probably take you.
I think you should say yours first, because mine's weirder.
I don't. Okay.
How much Hulu have you seen?
All of it.
No, you have not?
I've seen everything ever. Well, I've seen most of New Who. I was watching it live until I started watching it with Joe, because Joe hadn't seen any. I guess that was in season, like, 6.
I think you said the last one you saw was the one before The Angels Take Manhattan, which I know the name of, but I have not seen.
Right, yes. Because that's when I started rewatching it with Joe, because Joe hadn't seen any New Who.
What about that classic Who? What have you seen of classic Who?
Almost everything I know about classic Who, I know because I read a webcomic called The Ten Doctors. It's really great. But yeah, everything I know is from that webcomic. When I was reading that comic, I started watching some old Who. And almost everything I've seen, I watched Unearthly Child. I watched the whole serial. Besides that, most of what I've seen is from random episodes from 5. Not anything in order. It was whatever was on the, like, Daily Motion account that I had found it on, and it was just like random episodes.
So you haven't seen any other Doctors?
I mean, I've seen the 5 Doctors too. I've seen an episode with all of them in it, but I've never sat and watched. Oh, and I watched the one where 4 dies. Well, the one where 4 regenerates.
Spoilers for those who
classic Who spoilers.
Jack shit about.
One of the ones that I saw is the one where Edric dies, and it made me really sad. And like I said, I've not seen a lot. I've seen random episodes, but apparently everyone hates him, and I didn't know, and it made me even more sad.
I don't even know who that is.
He does math. I don't know. He made like a whole universe with his brain or something, I think.
I thought he had something to do with plants. I don't know, because I just see that from somebody I follow on Tumblr who does a lot of Classic Who stuff. There's something about that guy and then something about plants. And I don't know if the two actually go together, but plants. That's all I know.
Patrick and plants. Oh, and I know that I love Ace, despite never actually seeing an episode with Ace in it, because Tumblr makes me think that she's the best.
Another thing about the plants thing might be a Big Finish thing. I have no idea.
Are we going to do Big Finish stuff at any point?
I think we should worry about getting through this first.
Yeah, and it's not going great.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the episode. We will. But yeah, I mean, if we get through, you know, the Eighth Doctor, I think we should go ahead and do New Who. Because why not? And I still haven't finished watching New Who. You still haven't finished watching New Who.
No, I'm behind now, and probably will be for a while, since we're going to be watching Classic Who instead.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can still do both. But I mean, once we get through Classic Who for the podcast, we can go ahead and do New Who as well.
So you should talk about how long it took me to convince you to watch New Who without doing what we're doing now. Because right. You wanted to watch them all in order.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's, I wanted to watch Doctor Who because everybody was going on about how awesome Doctor Who was, but I have this weird continuity thing where I have to watch things in order. Like, for example, I watched Buffy and Angel, and I watched them in... Yeah, I made Tony watch them the same way. I've made every friend I've had watch them the same way. Airing order, I mean, except for a couple of things, but there was problems with that. But, like, the order that they're intended to be watched, we would watch, like, an episode of Buffy, then an episode of Angel, and then, like, well, I mean, sometimes I got a little messed up here and there, but, like...
Not just the order that they were intended to watch, but we would watch them on Netflix.
Oh, God, yeah, Netflix has them in widescreen, and they're not supposed to be in widescreen. I think they may have fixed it by now, I haven't watched it in a while, but they're supposed to be full screen, and it was filmed in widescreen, but it was supposed to be full screen, or full frame, whatever you want to call it, and, like, they just show them in widescreen on Netflix. And that's ridiculous because you see stuff you're not supposed to see. There's characters where they'll, like, dub in lines, like, exposition-y lines. But the character will be off to the left and you won't see their lips moving. Or you'll see, like microphones and lights. Yeah. And it really messes up the body episode. It's just, it's awful.
Well, yeah, it messes up the framing.
Yeah. And it's because it's not supposed to be widescreen.
But anyway, we would watch it, and this was when we were not living in the same place.
By the way, we were a long-distance relationship when we started out, for those who don't know.
It was a very big deal that I covered up my screen with, like, other windows, with, like, a Skype window and something else, so that I was watching it in full screen. Well, he wouldn't start until it was full screen.
I would do the same thing on mine. I mean, I had the DVD, so I could watch on that, but it was just easier to watch it on Netflix. So yeah, I have this weird continuity thing to get back on track. So, I was like, I want to watch Doctor Who. I want to watch New Who, but I want to watch all of Doctor Who in the order that it's intended to be seen. So, I started with the very first Doctor. It took me a while because it's slow-paced, so I would kind of get in and out of it. I've watched all of the first Doctor, and I've watched two or three serials of the second Doctor.
Now, that's who you consider to be your yeah. Doctor,
My
right?
Doctor is William Hartnell, yeah. I've seen a lot of him, so I hadn't seen any. I hadn't seen any New Who. But then I eventually saw, this is before I met Tony. Yeah, one of my friends in California, Ray Friesen, rayfriesen.com, he does cool stuff, check him out, made me watch three episodes of Doctor Who. He made me watch Blink, The Girl in the Fireplace, and then the episode that had just aired because he wanted to watch it, which wasn't the best episode ever. It was the traffic one. I don't remember the name of it. The one where, like, there's the cat thing. Gridlock.
Yeah. No, that wasn't a great episode.
So, yeah, I did not know what was going on. I really liked Blink, and I liked Girl in the Fireplace. That episode was kind of weird. There was some arc stuff that I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about. But since then, I met Tony, and I was, like, I don't know, most of the way through the first Doctor, and...
I didn't realize you were that far of the way through the first Doctor already, by the time you'd met me.
Yeah, that was a good chunk in. I mean, I had started it when I was like 16 or 17, and then I just slowly moved to it. I got kind of stuck in the Web Planet, because that's not a great serial. It's just not. Tony was watching New Who, and she's like, dude, I want to watch New Who with you. And I would be like, but no, I want to watch all the Classic Who. And she's like, that's ridiculous. Just watched Classic Who, but also watched New Who at the same time. And she finally... tossed me into it. After we finished Buffy and Angel, we started New Who. And I've seen 9, I've seen all 10, and I've seen 3 or 4 episodes of...
Yeah, we only just started getting into 11.
Yeah, we just started him. So I think the last episode we watched was Victory of the Daleks.
Mm-hmm. And it would drive me crazy, too, because, like, really awesome things would be going on in Doctor Who. And that, I mean, watching TV and just talking about it is basically what we do.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I need to talk to you about this thing. I need to talk to you about this thing that happened on Doctor Who. And he would be like, William Hartnell is cute. He's a great doctor. Yeah, sure, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, be
but
like...
stuff's happening in the future.
But you haven't seen Steven. Steven's great. And you just stare at me dumbfounded.
Yeah, I still don't.
The doctor wore a Stetson. Or a cowboy hat.
He did.
Yeah. So you were going on about him wearing a Stetson in the future. And I'm like, my doctor did it first.
But see, now Joe has watched a lot of New Who, and we're going back and watching Classic Who together. Yeah. And we will both know everything.
Yeah.
That's the real goal, is to amass complete Whovian knowledge.
We also plan on not really watching, because it's not really possible, but doing the missing episodes as well.
Did that bother you, like, your first go-around?
The missing episodes? I mean, it bothers me now. Like, it sucks that they don't exist. But, I mean, there's still audio and reconstructions, and you can still experience them. But, yeah, it does suck that they're just gone. And it was really weird when I started the second Doctor, because, like, his first serial is mostly missing. Like, I don't think there's a whole episode in the first serial of the second Doctor. There's just...
Really?
Yeah, there's just, like, a couple scenes. So, like, it's hard to get a complete... judge of the second Doctor, because I don't know what he's doing. I know what he looks like, but he's also, like, largely silent through that first serial, so I'm just like, I don't know.
Wait, go through all the Doctors and tell me what you know about him, like, starting at 8.
Wait, starting at 8 and going back down?
Mm-hmm.
8 is a movie, I know that, and something about shoes, and some weird continuity problem.
Oh wait, that is something that I left out. I have seen the movie, despite not seeing anything else. So I actually know some about 8, even though most of 8 stuff is like audiobooks and that kind of thing.
I haven't seen it. I know it's got that dude who's a talking cat as the master. 7, I've seen some stuff on Tumblr and he looks adorable. He's the dude in The Hobbit. Oh God, it's weird. It's hard going backwards. 6 is the one that nobody likes.
Aww.
I mean...
Well, okay.
He was...
Kind of.
He was... Like, intentionally made, kind of.
From what I hear, he's kind of an asshole.
But I mean, I've heard it was kind of intentional, but then people didn't like it.
I don't want to upset 6 fans. I've also heard that he's a very great doctor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing him. He's the dude with the curly hair and the, like, all the different colors. Like, the multi, like, he's Joseph.
Yeah.
He's the Joseph Doctor, who looks like the greatest American hero. That's all. I don't know anything about him except that about, you know, he's kind of a jerk, but, like, they were intentionally doing that, but then people didn't like it, and then it was there. Then they kind of short. 5th Doctor is the one you like, and he was the one that was in the Time Crash episode. He wears vegetables.
Celery.
No, just vegetables. 4 is Baker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one everyone knows.
I think there was a point in time where... I think maybe it was PBS aired Doctor Who in the United States, and that period of time was 4.
Yeah.
That and 4, from what I understand, his run is 4 forever. Right. That everyone loved him, so he just stayed the Doctor forever.
I mean, he looks interesting. He looks funny.
Yeah. He gives jelly babies to people.
I don't mean he looks funny, like, hey, he's weird looking. I mean, he just looks like he's a fun, funny doctor. He's kind of weird looking. But yeah, he's got the like long, awesome scarf. I know what they look like. That's mostly what I know. 3rd Doctor is the Kung Fu guy, and he's stuck on Earth.
And he has a car. He has a sweet ride. That's what I know about the 3rd Doctor.
And Sarah Jane was 3 and 4, right? Like the end of 3, the beginning of 4.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's something else I've seen. I've seen a few seasons of the Sarah Jane. Oh my God, is it Adventures or Chronicles?
Sarah Jane Adventures?
Yeah, I've seen, like, I don't think I've seen the last season. I've seen the seasons before, which is pretty good. It's not as well written, but it's still fun. I don't like Sarah Jane a lot. And I've seen the 3 seasons of Torchwood. I haven't seen the new season because I'm watching them continuity-wise. So I'm going
with
by air date.
Doctor Who.
With Doctor Who, right. So,
and even like, though the only time they ever cross over is finales, because that's...
Yeah, and I don't even think they cross over at all once Moffat's in... Well, I mean, I know... I know the 11th Doctor was on Sarah Jane. Russell T. Davies wrote for the 11th Doctor. So I'm looking forward to the end of that to see how that works out. But yeah, because I remember we were watching the episode before the big giant crossover, and like it showed, like I'd watched like a couple of episodes of Sarah Jane, but not a lot. And then Tony's like, I was like, I don't want to watch any more Doctor Who until I get caught up on Sarah Jane. And Tony's like, it doesn't matter. Let's just watch. So we just watched, and then there was that, like, the on the next, and it was like Luke from Sarah Jane Adventures. And I was like, I have to get caught up now, because what if they reference something and spoil me? And to be fair, well, they didn't spoil anything. It wouldn't have spoiled anything, but if I hadn't caught up on Torchwood, I would have been spoiled on Torchwood.
Yeah, I might have accidentally lied about that.
Because in Torchwood, it's like...
Everyone dies, isn't it?
They're like, everybody's dead. That's like pretty much the first thing they say in the Doctor Who episode. Isn't it sad how all those people died? All right, let's do this episode.
In this episode and basically have you be useless because we brought everyone over and we don't have enough for all of you guys to do.
Yeah,
so,
but it's
a finale. Yeah. It's big. Look at all these characters.
Everybody's here. Well, Luke didn't do anything. Well, yeah, I don't think Luke did much.
I say that like I'm making fun of it, but like, let's not lie. The TARDIS scene with everybody in it makes me cry.
Yeah,
it's like one of the best moments ever. Like, everyone's there and they're happy, they're together, they wanted all the time.
And second Doctor is a goofball, first Doctor is my Doctor. And an old grumpy guy, watch out.
Is the second Doctor the one who has the recorder?
Yeah.
And like the fur coat?
I don't think I've seen him in a fur coat.
Have I imagined this thing?
He might have a fur coat at some point. What I've seen him in is sort of like this, like, it's not that much different from Hartnell. It's like this black coat thing.
Here's what I know about Hartnell from at least what we've watched, and it's that he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's talk about an unearthly child.
An unearthly child is 4 serials.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's also known as 100,000 BC.
Really?
That was the production title, apparently. Because there was like a lot of, I don't know, apparently there used to be a lot of confusion about what the actual titles of the episodes were.
I would just like to mention that Joe has like notes that he took while we were watching the episode, and he has his phone open to the Wikipedia page and has all this information. I have nothing. I have a glass of wine.
I should have a glass of wine. The episodes are An Unearthly Child, The Cave of Skulls, The Forest of Fear, and The Fire Maker. So you had the first and the last episode are named after characters. An Unearthly Child, The Fire Maker. And then the two in the middle are places of something, which is Cave Skulls.
Cave of Skulls, which they don't even get to until the end of that episode.
Yeah. And Forest of Fear.
It's about what you'd expect. It's a cave of skulls.
But that leads to some interesting things. It aired from November 23rd, 1963 to December 14th. Of the same year, 1963. That's a long time ago.
Right? That was in the past.
I wasn't there. I was non-existing at that point.
Same.
I wouldn't know what it would have been like to have seen it air live.
You say that, and you laugh, but there is this question of, like, I mean, the first thing you notice when all you've ever known is New Who and you start watching Classic Who is pacing.
Yeah. Lee Pacing.
Yes. Lee Pacing. Imagine Lee Pace as the Doctor. No, the companion.
Yeah.
Yes. He just gets in trouble, and just because he's trying to help people, and when the Doctor gets mad, he just goes, I just want to help. And his eyes get all doughy.
Now that's a love interest for Tennant.
Yes.
I'm
completely lost now that I'm thinking about Lee Pace.
It's weird.
Pacing! This podcast will have about the same pacing as the first serial. and that nothing happens.
It's weird watching it. It's the first episode, and it's such a huge thing. But this is like the first episode, so I imagine they didn't know
what it was yet.
Yeah, what was going to happen, and blah, 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 blah. But it's weird watching it because there's like all these moments, or there's a handful of moments where you're like if it happened in episode now, you'd be like, ah, see what they did there, sort of thing. Like, there is a scene where the doctor literally says, was it like, fear makes us companions?
Yes, and you're like, ah, oh, companions! Yeah. That's what we call people who travel with them.
And then he calls Ian Barbara's companion. He's like, you're a companion there. And it's like, yeah, like, that is a very Doctor Who word, but at that point in time,
it was
just a line of dialogue.
Nothing at that point was very Doctor Who, which is weird to think about.
Yeah, it's a very weird pilot.
You know what else they did? Twice, someone said, Doctor Who. I think the doctor said
the
it.
The doctor says it first because Ian's like, Dr. Foreman. And he's like, Doctor Who? Oh, right, that's my name.
That's who I'm pretending to be. Shit.
Actually, technically, I don't even think he was. Probably wasn't pretending to be a Dr. Foreman because he was just in a junkyard owned by I.M. Foreman.
Susan took the name, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Susan Foreman.
I think it's kind of implied that it's just like she looked at the sign and was like, that's a good last name. She doesn't have a very Time Lord name, does she?
Susan?
Yeah. Like, Time Lord name should be like the Doctor, the Master, the Meddling Monk. There should be a the. But then
she's
Romana's
the Susan.
Romana doesn't have. Am I saying that right?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know who you're talking about. So.
It's a fourth Doctor companion who's a Time Lady.
We need more of those.
Well, I think something's happening and stuff we haven't seen yet. But I wonder how names work.
Maybe they just have a Susan. Maybe the TARDIS is translating her name into Susan.
Or maybe that was like she.
It's
her name...
really Susanna.
I mean, she did make up a name to go to school, but.
I guess maybe just Time Lords don't like their names getting out.
Didn't we read something that said she wasn't originally going to be his granddaughter?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the guy who wrote the episode, it wasn't supposed to be his granddaughter, and he was like, can we make it his granddaughter? Because it's kind of creepy for this old dude to be traveling around with a young girl.
Which is great!
Yeah, because that's exactly what New Who is.
That's the only time if anyone has ever thought that in Doctor Who.
People might get the wrong idea.
Wrong idea? That sounds great! That sounds like great television.
I kind of blame Buffy for that. Like, it happened in Buffy. Like, 100-year-old dude and teenage girl. Love affair.
So, an unearthly child.
Right. The unearthly child is vastly different from the following three episodes. Like, it feels like a completely different thing. I really like an unearthly child because it's weird. It's weird and I like it. The following three episodes... Not so much. It's just caveman stuff, and it's kind of boring.
I swear to you, the entirety of the second episode is an argument about whether or not this dude can make fire. And it's like, this is taking so long. Like, this scene's been going on forever, and I've already gained the information that I was supposed to have gained. That and my other favorite thing is just, like, the time that they give to reaction shots.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I almost feel like I'm keeping an uncomfortable amount of eye contact. you've made eye contact on someone with the sidewalk. You've smiled, but you're too far away, and you try to look away, but they're still there, and you're still both aware of each other's presence. That's what reaction shots feel like in Doctor Who, like an awkward social encounter.
The first episode, though, let's talk about that because it was good. I mean, I've seen all this, so I mean, I'm attached to the character, so I really like Ian, and I really like Barbara.
You're attached to the characters, but I think Ian's an idiot.
Ian is kind of an idiot, but he's a charming idiot.
He's so dumb.
You gotta admit, he's kind of adorable, though.
Okay, but like the first thing, like one of the first things he does is he's like, this Susan kid's acting weird. Do you want to stalk her after work later? And Barbara's like, sure.
Barbara's like, thank God you said that, because now I don't feel weird.
Yes, because she knows that it's weird. Ian is not aware of this at all. He just says it like, hey, we should probably go stalk this high school, grade school.
I don't know. It's British.
Oh, right. It works different there. School age. This school-aged woman, we're gonna, like, once we get off, like, he said it like he was proposing a date.
Yeah. I ship it. It is weird also when they first go inside the TARDIS. There's like a shot of like Barbara like, oh my god, it's bigger on the inside. But then like she's like, yeah, it's bigger on the inside. Okay, I don't give a shit. Like she just does not care anymore that it's bigger on the inside. Like she just doesn't.
No. And Ian doesn't seem to acknowledge it at all. And then later they're both like, this is all just some game you're playing. And it's like, you are in a box that's bigger on the inside. And you just want to be like, we have to leave because you guys are just making this all up and it's weird.
Yeah.
I need to say why else Ian is dumb.
Okay.
So, besides that, the first thing he decides is he's going to go and follow a child to her house and spy on her.
To her junkyard.
And then when they get to the junkyard, he puts his hand on the TARDIS and it's vibrating and he says, it's alive.
He's not wrong.
I mean, okay, yes. Technically, he's not wrong. But that is not the conclusion to draw from the fact that it's vibrating. And then later, is it in Cave of Skulls or something after Cave of Skulls?
I don't know, because I don't know what you're going to say.
Oh, right, yeah. When Susan, which by the way, this is the most badass thing I've ever seen.
Oh, this
Doctor
is like
Who.
The last episode. I don't
okay.
know.
When Susan just picks up the, like, human skull and puts it on the torch and is like, hey guys, look at this, look what I did.
Killing some time here, having some fun here
in
this Cave of Skulls.
Isn't this great? And Ian's like, it looks alive. And they then use the skulls that Ian thinks look alive to convince everyone that they've died.
Which I
can't even tell you
and
how much that upsets
me. It works!
How much it upsets me. But I'm 100% convinced that Ian has no idea what being alive means and just occasionally says it. Oh my god, this thing must be alive. But anyway, yeah, so he jumps to that ridiculous conclusion. Then back at the junkyard, when he's like, can't you see, he's telling Barbara, can't you see that, like, clearly this old man is holding her hostage here? Like, he just jumps to ridiculous conclusions, but at the same time won't accept things that are very obviously happening.
Like, it's alive, it's this, it's that. No, we're not in a spaceship. No.
No.
No. This is a box that's bigger on the inside.
But it's just... Or it's actually Barbara, I think, that says, this is just a pretend game that you and your grandfather are playing. And it's like, you're inside of it. How can you still be in such denial?
Okay, let's talk about dumb people again.
Okay.
You particularly have a problem with a piece of dialogue in the very first episode when Susan is talking about the fourth and the fifth dimension.
I mean, okay, but here's the thing, though. It has always bothered me, but the more I think about it, the more I think that I'm just wrong. Well, I mean, what she says is not technically wrong, and that's they're doing a problem, which I assume is some sort of physics problem, and she says, you can't do it without the fifth dimension. He's like, all right, so time is the fourth dimension, what's the fifth? And she says, space. And that has always bothered me, because I'm like, but space is the first three. And granted, I guess what was meant to have been said, or what I should have heard, was, like, there's a fourth spatial dimension. But how I always read it was, like, no, there's the three dimensions, there's time, and then there's space. And it's always bothered me.
To be fair, that's probably how it was written. It was the 60s.
Do you think it was? See, and that's what I was, like, it's bothered me for a long time. But the more you think about it, I'm like, well, how else would you say that? Would you say, no, there's a fourth spatial dimension, which there's, you know, legitimacy to.
Yeah.
Or is she saying, like, no, you guys, space is the fifth dimension? I don't know.
I think it was just a line written to sound cool. It was written to sound smart, rather than actually be smart.
But I mean, there is...
Because it's like, we travel in time and space.
See, and that's how when I saw it the first time, I originally, like, heard it. In the, like, no, there's time, but then you see, don't you see, there's also space, and it upset me greatly.
Also...
But if she's saying, no, you're only counting three dimensions of the four dimensions of space, and then there's time, then that makes sense, because that's
I just
want to
know what the question Ian was proposing.
Yeah, and how old are those kids?
Yeah, and if it is, I assume he believes it to be solvable from just the three dimensions... Why the hell can't she do it? Like, or just use four
or did
and
he
five.
Just,
and
just... Did he just put a completely impossible equation up on the board and was like, all right, kids, solve it. The answer is, it's alive.
The sixth dimension is, it's alive!
The sixth dimension is a flaming skull.
Yes.
But it looks alive! That'll be perfect to convince people we're dead.
And it works. That's what gets me, is that's the flame. The cavemen sit in the cave and stare at the skulls forever before one of them's like, wait, we're in the cave of skulls. They just made fire. That's skulls and fire. That's all it is.
I don't know what about that, like, works in any, like, there are skulls in the cave already. They could just leave and been like, oh my god, they're dead, they're skulls now. I don't know what about the addition of the fire makes them be like, they've died.
And it can't be like, oh, their skin burnt off because of the fire. Because they don't know. They've had fire for like 2 days. It is a dumb solution.
I can't get over just how casually Susan does it too. Like, she spent most of the like episode just screaming at things and panicking. And then while, like, everyone's just chilling out in the cave, she just goes over and...
Look, guys!
Plucks the human skull up, throws it onto the torch. Hey, guys, guess what I just did? You think maybe we can use this? This flaming skull, maybe? I don't know. It's literally the only two things in the cave. So I thought, why not put them together? And they're like, yes. That's a great plan, because the doctor literally couldn't think of anything better, because the doctor at this point
does nothing.
Pretty much useless.
Okay, let's talk about how useless he is.
So useless and a dick. Wait, okay, so way, way, way back, we should probably start doing these in more order, but way, way, way in the back, when like Ian and Barbara are in the thing in complete denial about reality or anything and what is and isn't alive, the doctor's like, it is too a time machine. I'll fucking show you. Oh, should I not do that?
What? Curse?
Yeah. Is that a thing?
I don't give a shit.
But he's like, it is too a time. Like, he gets mad, like, because he's insulted. Yeah. He's like, you're calling me a liar. Screw you guys. I'll show you. I'll take you to another planet.
Another time on another planet.
But the doctor doesn't know shit.
Yeah, he's like, ha ha, look outside. It's a different place. We're on a different planet. Ha ha ha. And it's not. It's Earth.
And then gets annoyed at the situation that he's put everybody else in. And to make matters worse, doesn't know how to fly the thing.
That was Tony's phone.
That was my phone. Someone's attacking my portal.
Nerd.
So... not only did he get, like, huffy because his ego was bruised, so that's the only reason why he made this trip, gets mad when they're, like, stuck out there, then he realizes that he has no idea how to fly the thing in the first place. I don't think it's broken. That's kind of when he's like, oh, it's not displaying any data. I don't know.
It didn't check. It's still a police box.
He doesn't know shit. He doesn't know how to use the TARDIS at all. And he's just like, I can't get you guys home. He knew that all along. He knew that's what was going to play out.
Yeah, do you think, like, I mean, like, he says that he's wanting to get back home. Like, like he says, like, they've been kicked out. What if he just left and then just, like, oh, crap, I don't know how to get back?
Like he went on vacation.
I'm not lost. They kicked us out, okay?
I love it.
I do love that he's, like, he says that I'm going to sidetrack for a second. This is also a little spoilery, but we've spoiled stuff already. But he's like, Susan and I want to get back home. We will get back home someday. And, spoilers.
Susan
just gets stranded on, like, this future Earth that post-apocalyptic.
That also never happened, technically.
Yeah, because now, yeah, like, I think it was, like, 97. I don't remember.
It's the post-apocalyptic future, the 90s.
Yeah, like, it didn't, of course, it
Which
did not
fair
happen.
Enough.
I'm pretty sure it's already past it. But, like, yeah, it was taken over by the Daleks, and then, yeah, but he, like, leaves her there. It's kind of crappy.
I think that's something that's interesting, is in New Who, there's kind of this, well, New Who and in some of the classic Who that I've seen, there's kind of this, Time Lords are all jerks, right? Like, they're all kind of inherently assholes. And in New Who, the Doctor's very human.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I mean, even as I wouldn't say unintentional, that's just how things happen. What I assume is that the Doctor becomes more human and less like a Time Lord, which is why there's always, like, there gets to be this more and more conflict. But he starts off kind of like every other Time Lord that we've seen, which is Just like a dick.
Which is weird because they
not wanting to get involved into stuff. He's like, why are you saving this guy? Can we just go?
Yeah, it's like a complete opposite.
Yeah.
And what's weird is like they refilmed the first episode because there's a lot of problems and stuff. And they also were like, we're going to tone down how much of a jerk the doctor is. And I'm like, you toned it down?
So basically, like, he wanted to bash that guy's skull in just because he was tired of waiting there?
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like that.
No, I mean, it's an interesting, like, you know, for a pilot.
It is awfully dark for what is essentially a family show pilot.
I mean,
pilot.
An educational.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Educational. The teacher who's like, it's a lie.
That is interesting that it is, that it's supposed to be an educational show. And I don't know how much I would say it achieved that at all.
Yeah. Like I said, it was surprisingly dark. I mean, it's not greatly written or anything, but the cavemen, there's like no good guy, really. They're all sort of awful. Like,
it's a very morally gray kind of episode. Well, and they don't understand. I mean, it's kind of brought up is they don't understand, like, compassion.
Yeah.
Or kindness. They're like, what? You know, you beat me up. Why aren't you killing me? I don't get it.
Why are you trying to save me? And then he does save him, and then he's like, well, you're my slave now. Thanks for making the fire. Which my favorite part is the dude trying to make fire, and he's just rubbing bones together. A lot of bone rubbing.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Just got a bone in his hand, and he's just straight up jacking it.
I swear he did that for an entire episode.
That second episode is so boring. Nothing happens. Not, like, they land on the planet, and Dodger's like, no, the planet. And no, it's Earth. they get out. The doctor, like, immediately gets knocked over the head and kidnapped. And then it's just them talking about fire for the rest of the episode. Can you make fire? I can make fire. This guy's gonna make fire.
He's not gonna make fire. He hasn't made fire yet.
He makes fire from his hands, you guys, because he was lighting a pipe. And the doctor's like, I'll give you fire. I'll give you fire. Oh, no, I don't have my matches because I'm completely useless. Just let me go get my spare hands. These are out of fuel. I'll be right back. But they won't let him go. And then just argue and more until apparently Susan was watching from a distance. Like, oh my god, I'm just going to jump in the middle of this. And
just so something can happen, really.
And then they argue some more about fire. And then they're like, we got to do something. Oh, this episode's called The Cave of Skulls. Let's put them in The Cave of Skulls.
Yeah, maybe at some
end of episode.
They should end up. Ooh. And then the next episode not that Doctor Who has ever been known for great special effects or anything, but that's kind of why I love it. My absolute favorite is when they're, like, just running. They're running away, but it's a close-up, and they're running in place, and someone's just hitting them in the face with, like, branches. And it's the best thing in the world.
I'll say it's not.
I want that job.
It's not.
That's how I want to work in. I wanted to be the person who hits people with branches.
I will say, being in black and white saves it a little bit.
Because
it looks more noirish, almost. It's still really bad. It's not something you can do now, though, but I think you could get away with it a little more, being black and white. It looks a little more stylistic. Yeah. It's still bad. But I don't think it's the worst ever. It's bad.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff I wonder about.
That was actually the last episode.
When you talk about pacing and when you talk about how it looks, I guess I have no sort of reference or context of, is that bad for the time? Is that cheesy for the time? Or is it just cheesy now? Because there's stuff in, like when I rewatched Sliders, they occasionally tried to do CGI and every time it was awful. I just remember sitting there thinking, there was no way this was ever good. Even for the time, people had to be sitting there watching it going, oh, why did they try to do something? They obviously didn't have the skill or time to pull off.
Yeah.
There's a CGI dragon and it makes me laugh every time I see it. Let's do a podcast about Sliders.
All right. Let's start it right now.
Did you know that in Spectre Space Time and the Constable, how they look, I'm 100% convinced, is actually from Sliders?
You think that. You don't have confirmation.
I should.
Tweet Dan Harmon. He'll probably answer. Hey, Dan Harmon, if you're listening to this,
Dan Harmon,
this podcast, did you base the look of Inspector Space Time on an episode of Sliders? If not you... If you're like, nah, I didn't do it, but ask the costume designer.
It's almost insane how there's an episode of Sliders where, oh my god, I don't remember any of their names. The Crying Man and Jerry O'Connell. What is his name, though?
It's like Rick.
That's almost never the case where I can remember the actor's name, but not the character's name. It's always the other way around. But Jerry O'Connell's in this trench coat and this bowler hat, and the Crying Man is in a police officer's outfit, and I swear to you, it's Inspector Spacetime.
Yeah, it looks an awful lot like Inspector Spacetime.
If they weren't related in any way, that's like a crazy coincidence.
For those who don't know, Inspector Spacetime is a show within the show Community. That's for those who don't know.
Played by Travis Ritchie. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, Travis Ritchie's cool.
It's alright.
Beat me in a contest one time.
You were in the contest, and he was also in the contest.
Well, I mean, it was like a popularity type contest where you could get votes or whatever. And I wasn't doing too bad, and then he just skyrocketed past me. Mm-hmm. It was his web series, Robot Ninja Gay Guy. So there's a lot of animosity there. We're mortal enemies.
We're mortal enemies. He has no idea who he is.
He knows who you are. You've had dinner with him.
Well, yeah. It was like a meet and greet type situation.
Yeah, you want like a thing, and you got to be the...
Yeah, he doesn't like know who I am.
No, you're like pen pals. you got to be the inspector's associate.
That's true. I did cosplay.
What was the name of the convention?
PowerCon?
Yeah.
Which I had no intention of going to, except that I entered that contest and probably wouldn't have gone to if I hadn't won.
So that's a ringing endorsement.
Go to Comic-Con! No, actually it was a great convention, and I do know a handful of people who have gone and really liked it. And the person who organized it all was very cool. She seemed very sweet. Like everyone.
And you got to meet the inspector. You got to meet Ravis Tritchie? Travis Ritchie. I'll get there.
But I do have an Inspector Spacetime cosplay, despite having seen almost no Community whatsoever. I've seen the first season, and I've seen Random most episodes. Of the second season.
I know you've seen the timeline.
Yes. Yeah. But that was the point. I was watching with my sister, and her season 2 DVDs were scratched, and they would skip. So, and she would just pause it and go, okay, here's what happened.
That is not the way to watch a show.
And I'm not as bad as Joe, and even I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't watch them like this. I need to see. Have we covered everything in your notes?
Yeah, I don't know, I'm looking over notes. Time travel seemed painful.
Ian is an idiot.
That is one of my notes. The time travel I don't think has ever been portrayed the way it has in this episode.
Like, how do you mean?
Like, there was like a lot of close-ups, and they seriously looked like they were in pain traveling through time. Like it was an ordeal to be traveling through time.
I don't think I noticed.
It was like there was like their faces, and then they'd like put the time stuff over it. It was weird. Like, it was moody. It was really moody. There was a lot of stuff that was kind of just moody, and like
it does seem very moody and gray for this is gonna be a fun kids show.
Right, but I kind of like it. I like it. It's not what you'd expect. Even from Doctor Who, I don't think you'd expect that. And it's I think that makes it more interesting. Oh, I know one thing we should talk about.
I should clarify that when I say even though it's a kid show, does not mean that I expect things that are kid shows to be cheesy and badly written, because I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be like, Doctor Who's great. It's way too good to be a kid's show. It touches on real things, and it gets dark sometimes. That makes me very angry.
But the thing is, it doesn't feel like a show that was written,
designed to be like an educational
children's show.
Yes.
Like, it feels like something that was written for adults, kind of. Like, not specifically for adults, but not something that was...
It doesn't really... You can't really see where they had that in mind in the first...
Yeah, like, it doesn't feel like that was their intended audience, sort of thing. I mean, the only thing... I mean, you have the teenager who's actually not... She doesn't even really get a lot of...
She doesn't do much. In fact, that's something that bothered me, is how much...
She just screams.
Barbara and Susan just, like, fall down and shout and scream, and it's like...
To be fair,
God damn it, one of them fell again. Like, someone pick them up because they're so useless.
But both the Doctor and Ian get knocked unconscious.
That's true, they do.
Ian just falls in the most ridiculous way possible inside like the TARDIS.
He had like, to fall so
I'm falling. He grabs a chair to help him down and then bangs his head.
Which, he at least has better coordination than the Sixth Doctor.
Yeah, you've told me that story.
It's my favorite.
The other thing that I feel like we should talk about, there's a fight scene where...
No one does anything.
Yeah, Caveman 1 and Caveman 2 are just, I don't know their name. No. There's the guy who's like, I can make fire. The other guy's like, I can hunt stuff. And that causes conflict for some reason. Because, like, hunter guy's
wait.
You shouldn't make fire. And fire guy's like, you shouldn't hunt meat. We need fire. No, you need both.
There is that one guy who totally knows what up.
What up?
There's that one guy who totally knows what's up, and he's like, oh, I remember how fire and meat go together. It's the best. That's me. That's caveman me. Like, that's his only concern in the whole thing.
It's the best thing since, I don't know, there's not a lot going on here.
There hasn't been a lot of things.
I don't even think we've invented the wheel yet. Yeah, but like there's this fight scene where the hunter guy and fire guy are fighting. I don't even remember why exactly. Just...
Because one of them, hunter guy, killed old lady chick.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because she didn't want them to make fire, and he wanted to get fire before the other guy.
Oh my God, I'm so tired of hearing about fire. Right, but the fire guy shoved that old lady down first. Like, he shoved her down. I was like, did he kill her? But he didn't. But then the other one comes and finishes the job. So, like...
Well, yeah, and then it's like, he didn't kill him. And everyone's like, oh, great, we thought you did. That would have been awful. But
that's one thing the Doctor did kind of do, was like, look at these rocks. That one's got blood on it. That one don't got blood on it. Mystery solved.
I do like that the caveman called them knives.
Yeah, they're giant rocks. They're not knives at all. They don't even look sharp. Like, there's, like, no pointed end. It's just a rock. And, like, there's a shot where, like, the woman that doesn't want the fire picks up the rock and holds it forever so that the credits can go past it, the title of the episode and stuff. I'm like, she's holding a rock. Then they reveal that it's a... They don't reveal. You're just supposed to know it's a knife. But they call it a knife later. I was like, oh.
That was supposed to be a sinister... And I just thought it was an old lady holding a rock.
We still haven't gotten to the point. Yeah, they're fighting because of stupid reasons. I guess not.
Fire, rocks, they're cavemen, they're dumb.
Yeah, and they just start going to town fighting each other. And the Doctor, Ian, Barbara, Susan stand there and watch. They do not do anything at all. They just stand there and watch.
And I think you have to emphasize too that it has the same pacing as everything else. So this fight is incredibly long. I mean, for what is it? How long's an episode?
24.
For 24 minute episodes, it's an incredibly long fight. The point where you're like, no one's doing anything. This is happening so slowly.
They're just
like, it cannot be that hard to like break this fight up. And it just cuts back to everyone's horrified reactions of just like, oh no, they're fighting! What can we do?
Grab a skull,
put it on a torch. That should solve everything for unknown reasons.
So one of the cavemen kills the other caveman, and then Ian runs up and touches the dead caveman and is like, it's alive! No, that doesn't happen at all.
Ian's dumb.
But yeah, like,
your notes say bone rubbing.
It does, it says bone rubbing. And Caveman Ringo stays forever. I have, when the second episode starts, this is actually at the end of the first episode, there's like a shadow grows across the dunes of, or whatever. And it.
That was artsy.
That shot's trying to be artsy, speaking of, but it just really emphasizes how small that TARDIS model is.
That's true, it does.
You're like, well, that's clearly a model because the shadow spoils the effects. But then it cuts to a close-up of, like, that caveman staring, and he really looks like Ringo. That shot's in there like 900 times. It just keeps cutting back to this caveman staring at the TARDIS, doing absolutely nothing.
Back and forth between the two, and you're like,
And I only noticed how much it happened because the first time he popped up, I just said, Ringo! And then it popped up again, so I, of course, said, Ringo! And then I realized how many times I was saying, Ringo!
Were you aware that you were doing it then?
No, by that time it was habit. It
felt wrong. I just excused it because I thought you were unaware.
The doctor, to be the lead character, doesn't do anything.
To be fair, I think a huge part of that is setting up the doctor as sort of mysterious.
Yeah.
That to have him do too much, like, gives away who he is.
He still feels like the doctor, but not the doctor. There's definitely bits that are missing. Like, he's not like as doctory
compassion.
As... Yeah, or just
patience.
Doing stuff.
He's never had patience, yeah.
Like, the doctor does stuff. He's, like, constantly moving and doing things. And, like, this doctor's like, God, I don't want to do this. I kind of just, can we just go back home? I just want to go back to the TARDIS. Come on, guys. Like, why are we even? But then he's, like, lands on a place, and he's like, let's go explore.
I think one of my favorite things is, one, there's that scene where they're running, and the doctor's like, oh my God, I'm so old. Can we please stop running? Which is kind of enjoyable in the context of New Who. But also that, like, he gets Ian and Barbara basically in the situation, right? Just because he wants to show off. Because he's mad that they don't think his ship's super cool. And then when they're like, we'd like to go home, he, like, gets annoyed. I was like, you know what? They were a problem anyway. Why don't we just go back to the TARDIS and leave them here? He doesn't care about them at all and doesn't acknowledge the fact that everything that happens to them is completely his fault.
Right.
For not even a very good reason.
He blames them for everything. They got us into this situation. That dude wouldn't let me kill a guy.
Now we're stuck here.
Chatterton. I think he mispronounces Chesterton's name a lot.
Is that intentional?
That he screws up his name?
That he flubs stuff? Or is that...
Oh, you mean Hartnell?
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I think partially him sort of being sort of flustery and stuff is definitely on purpose. I do think he has screwed up lines on accident. And the thing is, they didn't refilm things back then. It's pretty much live to take. There's a screw up. They're like, it's in. We can't. It's too expensive.
I do, like, talk shows, like, local talk shows live to tape. I can't imagine having to do,
but apparently,
like, a narrative.
They only refilm if things are really bad. Like, that's why they refilmed the first episode, because apparently the TARDIS doors just kept opening and closing. Which, I want to point this out, something that I noticed that I never noticed before. The TARDIS doors, when you go into the TARDIS, you have the TARDIS doors, the blue doors, the police box doors. But when you're on the interior of the TARDIS, what should look like the police box doors do not. They have the big circles on them, on both sides of the door.
Wait, no, but how does that work, though?
I don't know.
Because it's two different dimensions, right? You have a larger dimension inside of a smaller dimension. So I assume that they're, like, touching when you open the doors. Wouldn't it be the TARDIS? You know what I mean? There's a split inside the larger dimension. So it does make sense for the TARDIS doors to have the inside of the TARDIS on the inside.
On the inside, but on the outside too. The circles are on both sides of the door, inside and out, when you're on the inside of the TARDIS. When it shows when they're filming inside the interior of the TARDIS.
Yes.
The doors open and close, but on both sides of the door, I'm illustrating with my hands for the people watching at home, there are circles, the big circles, on both sides of the door. So, like, they'd open up, and, like, they're like this.
I thought they opened out.
No, they open in.
They open in?
I think, yeah.
Are you sure? Are you sure? But they don't open out, and you're just confused. I think you're confused.
No, they open in. I'm, like, 100% positive they open it.
We're discussing the very important stuff on Doctor Who.
But yeah, you guys look at home. Look at it.
It's all three of you. Hi, Chris.
When the door... Advance. When the doors open, it's the circles on both sides. I can sort of be like, whatever. But, like, how does that work, like, for the person walking through the door? What point does it go from looking like the police box door to looking like the TARDIS door?
Well, see, now that's an interesting question because I've seen different episodes of Classic Who where, you know, the chameleon circuit does work for different TARDISes. Oh, which is another question that I've always had. Susan comes up with the name TARDIS, but every other Time Lord who's ever had a TARDIS calls it a TARDIS.
Maybe it caught on.
Like, everyone's like, oh, that's great, we've never had a name for it. I mean, I know why it actually happened, and that's... just that's a show that's been going on forever, and that's how things work. But That doesn't mean that you can't sit here forever and be like, but how does it actually work in the show, though? Because that's what nerds do.
That's awesome.
I don't remember what I was even talking about anymore. There have been other Time Lords with other TARDISes, and, like, you'll see one and it's a piano, or you'll see one and there was one where it was just, like, a pillar, and that's it.
How do you get in?
Right. The police box works because it has doors, but it could disguise itself as something that doesn't have doors. How does that work mechanically?
A piano is easy.
Well, yeah. The lid. I don't know if that happened or if... But with the pillar, it's like he just sort of... I think it's the Masters. And I think he just sort of walks out from behind it. And I just spent the rest of the episode going, how does that work? Is there a door? Is there just a door on the backside of that pillar?
I have no idea.
And what do TARDISes look like when they're at home?
They look like Pilot from Farscape.
They look like Pilot?
Yeah.
Not Moya?
No, Pilot.
That is something that is kind of addressed in the 10 Doctors that I mentioned earlier, and they're all just kind of vaguely box-shaped.
They're just, like, plants.
I guess they would probably look very organic.
Are they grown?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I remember another thing of Ian being stupid.
Yeah, I'm good. I love talking about Ian being stupid.
There's the scene where, like, they're in the TARDIS. He's like, I'm gonna go touch a thing on the console. Then Susan very clearly says, don't touch it! There's an awkward pause as he, like, slowly walks to the console, touches it, and then he goes, and falls down.
I know some of it is character stuff. Ian thinks he's smarter than everyone, but he's not. He's constantly being like, look now, let's do the logical thing. Clearly, the fact
it's alive. That's the logical thing.
But clearly, we're not in another time. You're all being crazy. I'm super, but like, he's wrong every time. Like, he's
or he's oddly right.
Or, obviously, this guy is keeping this young woman hostage. And everyone's like, what do you mean, obviously? And he's like, look, that's the logical explanation. And you're like, actually, there's lots of other logical explanations. And you just seem very certain about everything.
The logical course of action is to stalk this girl.
I think that the TARDIS is as much of a dick as the Doctor is. I love that kind of the cliffhanger where it's like, hey, check the radiation levels, make sure they're okay. Like, yep, totally cool, that's all the way down at the end. And everyone walks out of the TARDIS and the meter goes, whoop, which is the sound of a meter going up to the danger zone. That's what the sound it makes. And I just think that the TARDIS intentionally does it to be an asshole.
You're all gonna die. I'm excited about the next serial. It's,
You know, what happens next?
They all die. It's odd that you brought that up.
And that's the end of the series and also this podcast. All right.
Yeah, it's really easy podcast. I don't know what you were worried about. You're like, this is going to be our lives forever.
We will literally be doing this for the rest of our lives, or at least until I quit in 2 weeks.
That'll make people sad.
No, it won't.
The next episode is The Daleks.
First Daleks.
You know, it's mostly a filler episode. It didn't really establish any sort of Doctor canon, really.
Right.
It was just kind of there.
You could probably skip it.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well watch it just to get the, you know, the full
right, that's
effect.
Right, you don't skip things.
I don't skip things. There's these weird creatures that live inside of giant metal cans.
That sounds really boring.
We'll be doing that next time.
I assume next week we'll...
Yeah, next week for you at home. Who knows? What time it is right now that we're recording this.
All right. Calm down now. All right. Well, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on when you get this done, you get that up. And we're trying...
It also depends on if you're in the future and we've already done 70 episodes.
When he was like, I'm going to go back to watch the first one. Like, this is awful.
We just are rambling. We didn't have any sort of plan or structure.
No plan, no structure.
We're just like, let's talk.
It's super echoey, as I'm sure you can tell, because we just have the single microphone, which is sitting between the two of us. Sometimes you just have to do things, even if they're going to be shitty at first, because you'd never get to the non-shitty part if you don't just do them. That's how it works for me.
Yeah, anyway, if you liked it, liked our podcast, let us know.
If you didn't like our podcast and have very specific, helpful feedback, let us know.
Yeah, just comments, criticisms, whatever, just... Let us know what you thought, and we'll try to make it better if we can make it better. Should we, like, throw out our Tumblr handles or Twitter handles or something in case people do want to get in contact with us? Mine's all just Mini Pineapple. MiniPineapple.tumblr.com. Twitter, my name is Mini Pineapple. Facebook, I'm Mini Pineapple. Just Mini Pineapple everywhere.
I'm Catastrophize on Tumblr. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you.
It's C-A-S... Yeah. No, wait, no, that's not right. It's cat, C-A-T.
Catastrophize.
Yeah, and it's fries like the food.
It's like catastrophize, but with fries at the end instead of the
That's
it, it's over.
That's it, that's the end. Thanks for listening to the Wash-a-thon of Wrestling. Peace out.
All right, thanks. Sorry.
I've been Joe Heath, she's been Tony Heath, and you've just been Rassilon'd.